Schulter. Our counsel for that case here?
We're here. Ready, Your Honor.
All right. If you don't mind, we'll run them in, and you can come back. Okay.
Good morning, Your Honors.
Margulis?
Margulis, yes, sir. William Margulis from St. Louis. May it please the Court, and I represent the appellant, Mr. Scott Schulter, in this matter. The sole issue that we raised on appeal is the reasonableness of the sentence, and before I really address that, I would like to cover a little bit of just the what the sentence was and what it was based on. Mr. Schulter was originally charged in a three-count indictment with one count each of securities fraud, mail fraud, and wire fraud. He pled guilty. There was no plea agreement. However, there was a stipulation of facts. Mr. Schulter was basically involved in a fraudulent investment scheme where he took money from three different people and represented to them that he was investing it in certain types of investments and that he would, in return, pay them periodic interest payments. He did make some interest payments, but he basically took the money and used most of it for his own personal benefit. The total loss was about $322,000. There were three victims involved, although there were only two that were actually charged in the indictment. The defendant was sentenced on June 3rd of 2010, and the pre-sentence investigation report and the court both calculated the total offense level at 20 based on a base offense level of 7 and then a 12-level enhancement or increase for the loss being between $200,000 and $400,000. There was another 4-level increase for the based on the defendant being in the securities business or a registered broker. And then when you subtract the three levels, he ended up at a level 20, which was 33 to 41 months, was the guideline range determined by the probation officer and the court.
There was no vulnerable victim enhancement that went into computing his guideline range, was
there? No, there was not, Your Honor.
So, I mean, I would think that would probably have been an appropriate enhancement that could have been added on here quite easily.
Right. I mean, that's what I thought was interesting. The probation officer that prepared the PSI indicated that she had no information that would warrant upward or downward departure based on the circumstances in the case, and she further informed the court that she had not identified any 3553 factors either that would warrant any sort of variance in the case. The defendant argued for a downward variance at the sentencing, and the government's position at sentencing, they were asking for a guideline sentence and indicated at the sentencing proceeding that based on all the circumstances, their belief was that the guideline range was appropriate. What happened at the sentencing was the court...
But can we just stop here?
Sure.
I'm with Judge Evans on this. Wouldn't he have qualified for a two-level adjustment? Because these were definitely vulnerable victims. We had the couple who were on the brink of retirement. The man was 75 years old, and then the recent widow. And if those two points had been added, we would have had a guideline range of 41 to 51 months, and the 48-month sentence would have been right in there.
Right, that's true, Your Honor. For whatever reason, the judge, as I indicated, made the upward departure, but he did not use the vulnerable victims enhancement, which is part of our argument in this case, is that he listed several, or he set forth several specific factors in the sentencing transcript or at the sentencing hearing that he purportedly based his decision on. And the specific factors that he related, I don't think are different than most any other typical fraud case. I mean, we have these fraud cases all the time, and I think inherent in any fraud case are going to be certain losses to the victims that affect their financial situation, their credit, their ability to work, and other factors. And the court did not use the vulnerable victim enhancement in this case. The probation officer didn't recommend it. The United States attorney didn't recommend it. And as I indicated, both the United States attorney and the probation officer were of the opinion that none of these other enhancements applied. I can only assume that the probation officer, in preparing the report, looked at these other various enhancements that they could have applied or could have found that were applicable in this case. And there's the vulnerable victim enhancement. There's other enhancements such as extreme psychological injury, property damage or loss in extreme conduct, enhancements such as those. And nobody recommended that those enhancements applied in this case.
Counsel, if we accept your position and remand it for resentencing, somebody listening to this transcript may think those might be appropriate, wouldn't they?
Well, I can't argue with you there, Your Honor. I'm not sure why the district court did not go through those other possible guideline enhancements. I mean,
well, he certainly in the record made findings to support a conclusion that it was vulnerable, because he specifically said that the guidelines didn't adequately account for the severe impact that the crime had on the victims, and then outlined that the man was 75, that he couldn't save his son from losing his house. His son had a foreclosure. He had to start back to work again. I mean, he just, you know, I mean, these were all the factual determinations he made that certainly supported that vulnerable victim.
Well, Your Honor, the only response I can give is that our position is that those specific factors that the judge indicated and you related, some of them are factors that are common in just about every fraud case, and the reasons have to be compelling in order to make an upward departure in a case like this.
You know, that's unusual. I guess this panel, all the judges here, been district judges before we got up here, and all of us have handled hundreds of sentencing proceedings. And one of the main arguments for a lesser sentence here was that he kind of blamed his parents for cultivating a materialistic worldview, and he needed money. And I've heard a lot of them, but I never heard that one before.
Your Honor, I think that was apparently one of the arguments that were made down below. I did not handle the original case in this matter, so I was not the one that made those specific arguments. I think some of the arguments that were made were his lack of criminal history and his substance abuse problems.
You should have had a good St. Louis lawyer arguing. Well, he made that kind of an argument.
Right. Well, so again, Your Honors, our basic position is that this case is not different than most other fraud cases, and that the judge's reasoning did not support the upward departure, and that we would ask the court to remand for resentencing. Thank you,
Counsel. Ms. Hudson?
May it please the Court, Jennifer Hudson for the United States. I'd like to focus mostly on appellant's secondary argument of it not being a reasonable sentence based on the factors that the court laid out, that this is, I believe in his words, not different from any other white-collar fraud victim. What the court laid out in this case are sufficient factors to establish why this case is different. Furthermore, there was sufficient evidence presented during the course of the hearing itself from Mr. Waterman explaining the severity of the impact on his particular family, particularly that he had roughly $600,000, $300,000 of which was stolen. The other $300,000 was put away in investments that would not mature until he was in his 90s. We believe that the court adequately addressed all the factors that he was taking into consideration, and that the increase of 7 months is not unreasonable based upon the facts of this case. We therefore stand on the brief and on the record that the court made, unless the panel has any additional questions, and we ask that the court uphold the court's sentence. Thank you.
And the government didn't ask for vulnerable victim there was no request for that, right?
No,
and
there was
the probation not. Office didn't either.
No, Your Honor.
That's just kind of odd, because if there's ever a case that fit that, it seems to me this does.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Anything further?
No, Your Honor. I don't.
All right. Thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement. And